For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome to Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh starts in chapter 11, verse 26. Re'eh anochi nosanat lechem hayom bracha klala. Look, behold, today I place before you a blessing and a curse. Okay? That's how the Torah portion opens up. And the Torah portion continues to tell us about settling the land of Israel, and if we want brachas, in fact, to do the mitzvahs of Hashem. Again, this formula that's been repeated the last few parshas, and in fact is repeated throughout the Torah. Right? And if we don't do the mitzvahs, we'll be kicked off the land of Israel. These are some of the things in the parsha. Another one of the main sections of this week's parsha is kashrus. Those animals that you're allowed to eat, those animals you're not allowed to eat, fish, birds, so forth. This is basically some of the information that was first told to us in the Torah portion called Shmini. As we know, this book, Devarim, is a review of the previous three books, even though there's a tremendous amount of additional mitzvahs. So this Torah portion deals with, again, what a lot of the Torah portion of Shmini did, kashrus. Okay? And we have the Torah tells us about Shemitah, the seventh year, the sabbatical rest for the land. Right? The Torah talks about that as well. And also, again, this is one of, the, I think, like five different parshas that we have to describe the three festivals, right? Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Now, those are some of the things the Torah portion talks about. So, let us first tell you that there is a tremendous amount of commentaries on this first verse. Re'eh anochi nosen lefneichem hayom bracha klala. We could really give a whole class on this, and we may just do that. Behold, look, I'm giving before you today a blessing and a curse. Well, first off, a person has to realize that every day he has an opportunity to make this day, in fact, a blessing, or this day can be a curse, depending on what you do with that entity, that very real entity called Bechiras Chayfshis, free will. And with your free will, you can take today and make it a blessing. You can learn Torah, you can do mitzvahs, you can do acts of chesed. This day is a bracha that you'll reap the benefits of and eat off of for all eternity. Or a person, Chalila, could do bad things. And it could be a curse. A klala for today and for all the future. You'll always have to pay off your debts for things that you were not supposed to do in this world. Okay? Unless, of course, you do tshuva. Okay. So that's one idea. But if you go on, in verse 27, it says, Es ha-bracha asher tishmu el mitzvayis Hashem lokeichem. The bracha, if you listen, when you listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, that I'm going to command you today, okay? Va'klala, and the curse, im lo tishmu al mitzvahis Hashem alokeichem, and the curse is, if you do not listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, that I'm commanding you today, right? And then, it doesn't tell us what the blessings are, what the curses are. It goes into verse 29, and again, a whole different topic. And when I take you into the land of Israel, right? And when you come there to dwell there, and you'll give these blessings and curses on the har Gerizim and har Ebal. Okay. But basically, you would think from the context of how this parsha reads, which starts out, and these are the blessings you'll get if you keep the mitzvahs of Hashem. And these are the curses that you'll get if you do not listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. You would expect a listing of those blessings and curses. But you don't get it. Therefore, our sages, the great commentaries on the Torah, tell us some of the following explanations. First of all, and if you look at the Hebrew grammar, it's beautiful because it fits in very nicely. Okay, habrocha, es habrocha. What is the blessing? Asher tishmuo mitzvos Hashem lokeichem. The bracha is that you will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. The truth is, there's no greater blessing than that. The greatest blessing you can have is listening to the mitzvahs of Hashem. There's nothing greater. That in itself is the bracha, that you listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Right? And conversely, haklola, ba'klola, im lo tishmua mitzvahs Hashem lokeichem. The curse, the biggest curse, is in fact the fact that you didn't listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Okay? The Kedush Slavi elaborates on this. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev elaborates on this, and he says, really, it should say, right, it should say, im tishmun, right, es habrocha, im tishmun, el mitzvot Hashem lokechem. The bracha is if you keep the mitzvot of Hashem, like it says by the curses. That's the language it uses by the curses. It says the curse if you do not listen. So why with the bracha doesn't it say the same thing? It doesn't say that. It says, es habrocha. This is the blessing if you listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. He says, for this very reason. For this reason. Because really, we have a rule. Schar mitzvah b'hai amaleika. That there's no such thing as reward for a mitzvah in this world. Meaning, that you just can't be paid off in this world, as we said so many times. The reward for mitzvahs are so great that all the pleasures of this world just don't add up to paying you off, okay? Therefore, there's no reward for a mitzvah in this world. We're going to get reward in the next world, right? But there is actually one reward that a person can get in this world, says Kedushas Levi. And that is what it says in Pirkei Avos, Schar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Ratza Loimar, he wants to say, the schar shel mitzvah hua mitzvah gufa shasa. The reward for the mitzvah, schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The reward for the mitzvah is the fact that you got to do the mitzvah. There's no greater reward. Same thing here, right? You don't need more reward than that the fact that you merited to do the mitzvahs and you gave nachas to Hashem, Yisborach. Right? There's no greater reward than that. Right? And that's the same thing here. Es habrocha asher tishmu al mitzvos Hashem. Right? The fact that you listen, right, and do the mitzvos of Hashem, zeu gufo habrocha, that's the blessing, that's the greatest blessing. Ein tanu gado yoter mizeh, there's no greater pleasure than that. Right? There's no greater blessing than that you're listening, doing the words of Hashem. You gotta hear it. You gotta hear it. You know, you gotta hear it. That's what makes life worth living. Okay? So that's a thought. Now, going on that same theme, I heard from Rav Grossman, and he's quoting Yismach Yisrael. He says something a little similar, a little different twist to it. Again, he's bothered by the same thing, that it should say, again, it should say, Ima Bracha, excuse me, Ima Bracha Asher Tishmu El Mitzvos Hashem, right? Right, like it says by the curses, and not es habracha, right? And he's also bothered by the language re'eh, look, see, right? That I'm giving you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, right, that you listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. The curse, if you do not listen. Okay? So he's bothered again by two things. One, the language look, see. What does that mean, see the blessings and curses? And two, why doesn't the verse say stay uniform, right? And say, right, if the blessing is if you listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, like it says by the curses, and not that the blessing is listening to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Okay, so he elaborates a similar thing that Rav Levi Yitzchak says, right, but he also goes on and says something else. He says, really, and he quotes a Rambam on this, Maimonides. He says, really, there's many, many times in the Torah that we are promised materialistic brachas, right? Materialistic blessings in this world, even though we have that rule that we stated, that schar mitzvah hai al maleka, there's no such thing as reward for a mitzvah in this world. Yet the Torah itself states, like the second paragraph of the Shema, right, we had last week, it states actual good things in this world for doing mitzvahs. Okay, So Rambam tells us there that we have to understand that those materialistic blessings that the Torah promises is not b'tur schar. That's not really the reward for the mitzvah. The pshat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're doing his mitzvahs, right? He sees we're doing his mitzvahs, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us to do more mitzvahs. He sees that's what we want to do. And that's again what it means, like we just quoted the Pirkei Avos, schar mitzvah mitzvah, that the reward we get for a mitzvah is only to do more mitzvahs, but not the actual reward. The reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah, to do more mitzvahs. In other words, you understand? It's not the actual reward, right? Okay? Let me show it to you in our parsha. Our parsha reads the following, Re'eh, look, behold, I'm giving you today, before you today, a blessing and a curse, right? The blessing, listening to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Hashem is saying, look, I'm going to give you a bracha so that you'll be able to listen to me. Yeah? That's the way he learns it. Look, I'm giving you a bracha. That's not the reward, right? I'm blessing you with an easy life, with materialistic brachas, right? So that you can listen to me, so you can do my mitzvahs. But this is not the actual reward for the mitzvahs. Yeah? And that's why it reads the way it does. Re'eh, see, before you, I give you a blessing and a curse, the blessing, asher tishmu mitzvot Hashem. I'm giving you blessings, materialistic blessings, so that you can listen to do the mitzvahs of Hashem. Yeah? You understand? Hear that, okay? Beautiful. It's so beautiful. Okay? Another thing Rav Grossman says on this is, Today we have big questions. You know, we don't understand why certain things are happening to us. We don't understand why we have certain blessings, right? Or we see certain blessings that other people have. And we don't understand why we have certain curses, right? Bad things, good things I'm talking about, right? Why we have certain afflictions, why other people seem to have it well. Brachas and klolos, blessings and curses. We don't understand this. So, you gotta know that the Torah tells us the Metzias. This is it. This is the reason. If you have questions why certain things in your life are not going smooth, right? You don't understand it. The answer is in the first 2-3 verses of our Torah portion. If you want to have brachas, right, or a person has curses, we shouldn't know from it, it's all contingent on your actions. If you want brachas, do the mitzvahs of Hashem. Therefore, the language that's used in the Torah is re'eh, see, look. Look before you, blessings and curses. You want to know why? Why do you have blessings? As a bracha, asher tishmu mitzvot Hashem. It must mean you are doing some mitzvahs of Hashem. And if a person has klolos or curses, because lo tishmu el mitzvot Hashem lokeichem. The sarsam min aderech. You didn't listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem and you went off the way. And that's why you see certain people suffering. Okay, it's not for us to judge. Right? Certainly not for us to judge other people. But in our own life, if we have questions, we have to know, could be, we're coming up short in our service to Hashem. Okay? And other people have it well. We shouldn't get envious or jealous. Could be they're doing mitzvahs of Hashem. Okay? Right. So there's many, many more commentaries on these first three verses. Okay? Another beautiful insight is from Rav David Malalov, a great Chassidish rabbi, and he says a similar thing that we were saying before, that learning Torah is the ultimate bracha, right? And you know, that's why it's worded the way it is. The bracha, asher tishmo mitzvot Hashem, right? Well, that's all encompassed in learning Torah. And the klala, the curse of knowledge of the mitzvot Hashem, is, you know, when you start them in a derech, you go off the way, you don't learn Torah, right? So he says, again, as we repeated before, that is the ultimate blessing, ultimate curse, right? The ultimate blessing is the fact that you listen to Hashem and do His Torah, listen to the Torah. There's no sweeter life in this world, right? And the opposite, the ultimate curse is not listening to the Word of God, not nothing to do with Torah, right? All right, so and one more thought on this idea of reward in this world to pave it smooth for us so we can do mitzvahs, right? We're told also by Chazal that the materialistic blessings of this world, right, besides paving the way, making it an easy life for us so we can concentrate on spirituality, they are what's called like the peiros. We have an idea of the peiros and the keren kayemet. The peiros are like the fruits, like the dividends, but not the principle, right? So it's possible you get dividends in this world, interest, right? But it's not the actual principle, the actual reward, right? Okay? So it's interesting. This in Hebrew, it's the actual principle we get in the next world. So that in Hebrew, the way you word it is Vakaren Kayemis Lo Loilam Loilam Haba. Excuse me, Vakaren Kayemis Lo Loilam Haba. And the principle, right, is reserved for him in the future world. So yeah, it's just beautiful. If you look inside, he reads this the following. He says that you can read this Hayama Bracha. Today you get the blessing, right? Today you get the blessing. The very first verse, 26, the last three words of the verse. Hayom bracha, today is the blessing. In other words, today you get the fruits, the dividends, the interest, the blessings. Uklola. Uklola is an acronym for Vehakeren Kayemis Lo Le'oilam Haba. And the principle is reserved for him in the next world. So that's how he learns this. Behold, before you, I give you today, hayom bracha, today, in this world, you get the blessings, the fruits, the dividends. Bracha uklala. Yeah, uklala, the keren kayemet is an oilam haba. Yeah? It's beautiful. Very cute. Okay. Any questions? Another idea, so many beautiful commentaries here. Das Kain and Bala Tosfos tell us that today we look at things as being blessings and curses, right? Again, the first verse, Re'eh, look, Anochi Nosen Lefneichem, Hayom, before you today, right now in this world, Bracha Klala. Things look like blessings and things look like curses, right? But we know in the future, right? We know in the future everything is going to be good. In other words, now we have two different brachas a person says. He says for good things, Baruch Atah V'Meitiv, blessed are you God who gives good. And we shouldn't have to say the other bracha, Dayan Emes, the God of justice, when bad things happen. Right? In the next world, times of the Mashiach, there will only be one bracha. That bracha will be Baruch Atah V'Meitiv. We'll thank Hashem for everything, because we'll realize everything's good. Right? So that's what it says. I give before you today, today in this world, things look like bracha uklala, blessings and curses, boilam hazeh, right? But during the times of the Mashiach, you'll see kulam bracha, they're all a blessing, okay? You'll see that in that world, even those things that look like curses, whether it was afflictions, whether it was soros that the Klal Yisrael, where we had to go through as Jews, as a nation or individually, we'll all see it was for our rectification, all for our ultimate benefit. Today, it looks like blessings and curses. In the future, times we'll see it all being a bracha. That's the emphasis, hayom. Today, it only looks like blessings and curses, but not in the future. Okay. Now, we said the ultimate blessing, right? We said mitzvahs Hashem. We quoted all those beautiful commentaries. Is doing the mitzvahs. Is actually learning the Torah, right? That's the ultimate blessing. So that too is hinted to in an acronym of the last letters of the word, Es HaBrocha Asher Tishma'u, the blessings if you listen. So the words of the mitzvahs of Hashem, right? So the last letters of those four words, Es HaBrocha Asher Tishma'u, the last letters of those four words spell the words Torah. Then the merit of Torah, that's where the blessings come from. That's the Bala Turim. Okay? Alright, those are some of the insights, the famous insights into this Bracha and Klala. I just want to continue on this theme before we move on to other things, that this is, these like three parshas have a very strong connection to each other. Talking about Ve'eschanan and Ekev last week, and Re'ed this week. And the whole idea, this parsha is trying to teach us to live like a heavenly life in this world, to have a life of blessings, right? And this is really strongly hinted to, if you will, in last week's parsha. So we didn't get to say this last week. I'm just going to mention it now. But it says, it's part of the second paragraph of the Shema there. And we say this three times a day. It's a beautiful insight, again, by Rabbi Grossman. It's chapter, if you want to look it up later, chapter 11, verse 21. And we say that your days should be lengthened on earth, right? L'seislem ki mea shamayim ala aretz. Right? Like the days of the heaven on earth. That's how you can translate it. Ki mea shamayim ala aretz. So he says, a Yid, a Jew in this world, is supposed to think. We're supposed to think. A Jew is supposed to think about Olam Haba. He's supposed to think about the next world while he's in this world. And realize, like it says in Pirkei Avos, Ha'olam Hazeh Adoyim L'Praizdor L'Fnei Olam Haba, that this world is like a lobby before the next world. So that even in this world, if a person has that thought press, even this world, on the Aretz, that means here, the land, right, you should feel and live a life, Kimei HaShemayim, like a heavenly life. And again, Kimei HaShemayim, a life of a heavenly life, Al Haaretz, in this world. You understand? We're not here to eat, drink, and be merry, you know, for tomorrow we die. That's the Goyish version. Ours is Kimei Shemayim Al Haaretz, to live a life, Kimei Shemayim, a heavenly life in this world. We should be thinking about where we're headed, where eternity, and storing up for our trip, getting our spiritual provisions, if you will. So that's important. That's continued. Again, that theme's continued in our Torah portion with the Brachos and the Klolas. But the problem is that, you know, we don't take the signs that Hashem gives us every day. You know, this brachas and klolas, blessings and curses, happens to us continuously. There are rebukes from Hashem. You got to know. It says last week's Torah portion also, by the way, it says something like this. In chapter 11, verse 2, it says, you got to know. What do you got to know? It says, v'yadata yom, you should know today, right? Then it goes on to tell us, the verse goes on, but these two words, v'yadatem hayom, that you should know today, right? We have this repeated several times. The problem is, Rashi comments there, what does it mean to know? Tenu lev, ladas, lahavin, l'kabel tochachi. You gotta give heart, your intent, you gotta put your heart to it to understand and accept my rebuke. And we don't do that. We look at the words of the Torah, you know, I don't know what we're doing, and it's not intellectual gymnastics. These are words of Hashem. They're rebukes to us, and we have to take it to heart, literally. Okay? Okay. Let's move on. Okay, the Torah portion also tells us about the Megillah land of Israel. We should wipe out their avodah zarah. We should wipe out their idol worshiping, right? We should wipe out their idol worshiping. Okay. And Rashi quotes the Sifri, he tells us in chapter 11, verse 28, says, Kol ha-kofer ba'avodas kochavim, kamoida b'kol ha-Torah. A person who denies idol worshiping is as if he did the whole Torah, right? Right? Now, and the opposite, Kol ha-moida ba'avodas zarah, whoever feels that there's something to this idol worshiping, you know, gives it credence, if you will, tries to, right, kofer b'chol ha-Torah. He's like a kofer. He's like a heretic. He's like he's an apikorsus. He denies the whole Torah. So I want you to know. This applies to us today. You know, certain things are in fashion today, like Indians. You know, it's an interesting. The two groups that are very popular to support today: Indians and Negroes. So, especially Native Africans, right, or Native Indians. You know, it's interesting. There might be only two nations today that still worship real idol worship. You know, really get into it with the fires and and everything and devil and spirits and shrunken heads, all these things. And that's the Negro nations in Africa. They still do this stuff. And the Indians. And the Indians. So it's interesting. Anybody who hears this tape, if it goes on the internet, they'll censor this out. I guarantee you, my good friend on the internet, he should be well. Okay? But the fact is, they're afraid. Because what's considered politically correct out there is it's taboo to say anything negative about Negroes or Indians. That's, you know, the two favorite things. Of course, women and also homosexuals. You know, I always say, if you have a lesbian woman who's a black and has some Indian blood in her, she could be president of the corporation in 2 weeks. So, whatever it is, the Torah tells us very clearly, you're not to support these people. You're not to talk favorably about them. The Torah tells us that. These people are idol worshipings. And these people that feel so sorry for the Indians, you know, that when the Americans came and wiped them off their land, I got news for you. The Indians came here, and they wiped out other Indian tribes. We have the Ottawa Mounds here in Georgia. What do you think those are? There was another Indian tribe came and wiped them out. And I got to tell you, they're savages. They attacked. I don't know. You know, maybe both sides were a little wrong. But the Indians, I don't shed one tear for. They deserve everything they got coming to them because they were idol worshippers. Momish idol worshippers. Of course, no one will accept that today. They don't hear it today because it's in fashion. Right? 30 years ago, everybody would hear this and say, huh, what are you telling us? A chiddush. Of course, this is known. We all know this. It's no big deal. Today, people say, oh, it's not really true. They're not all like that. You know, it's just. Anyways, the Torah tells us clearly, not only by a person who denies idol worshiping as if he kept the whole Torah, but the opposite. If you support idol worshiping or support the philosophy or the rights of Indians, or, you know, these people that worship idols, or you look up and admire the African Negroes worshiping idols, you're guilty of this verse. You're supposed, as if you deny the Torah. They still believe in voodoo, witchcraft, a lot of them out there in Africa. I'm not talking about here. Here, they mainly just cause the crime rate to go up. But, right, and usually take everybody else's jobs because you have to bend over backwards so you're not prejudiced, which means you're going to be prejudiced to any white male. Okay. Now, okay, and that's one thing. Then another thing that we're told by Rashi, chapter 12, verse 3, Va'avadatem es shemam, you shall wipe out their name. And here again, we also had this last week, L'knois lehem shnem gnai, you should call them by a derogatory nickname. That's why I said Indians. And not Indians. Right? You should call, yes, idol worshippers, you should call by a derogatory nickname. Everybody look it up. It's the Rashi, chapter 12, verse 3. Right? Call them by derogatory nicknames, right? That means you shouldn't go around pandering to homosexuals and call them by that name, Mary, Happy, whatever they call themselves. I'm not going to acknowledge that name and say it on tape. Right? And you shouldn't go around calling, you know, all these other things, what they want to be, Native Americans, whatever it is, all the shtus, right? Okay, I'm not saying you should go out of way to antagonize and on their face, you know, call them a derogatory nicknames. No, okay? But certainly you shouldn't pander to them and cater to them and go the other way and call them by esteemed names that they want to be called by. Okay, chapter 13, verse 8. Continues on his theme of idol worshiping, and it says, the verse says, "Lama'an yeshuv Hashem acharon apo." So God will return from His anger. You hear this? It's the Rashi tells us, "Shekol zman shavodis zora boilam acharon af boilam." When there is idol worshiping in the world, there's divine anger. God is angry in the world that the people are worshiping, you know, falsehood. So everything we're saying about these people or philosophies, whether it's Indians or African Americans or environmental wackos or all these things that they make into a religion, they mamish make it into an avodah zarah, an idol worshipping, it becomes their whole life, they're obsessed with it, right? This causes divine anger in the world, which cuts off the flow of blessing to all of us, to good or bad alike, okay? And these people are marching for them and supporting them and feel sorry for the homosexuals and all these things and the avodah zarah and the different philosophical idol worshipings in the world. And the Torah is telling us, as long as they're around, there's Hashem's angry, so to speak. That's a good question. Okay, call us the question, you know, why is Hashem angry at the Jews? We didn't do it. It's true. But we see, you know, we see like Avram at Sodom. You know, he was bargaining, if there's 10 tzaddikim, will you save the whole town, right? He got down to 10. Meaning, even if there was 5, 6 tzaddikim in that immoral town of Sodom, they're going to be wiped out with the rest of them. Okay? Right? Noach needed a special grace in God's eyes to be saved from the flood. Right? But we, you know, there's a certain idea that we're all like responsible for each other, certainly of the Jewish people. Right? But there's like a cause and effect. There's a cause and effect in it, and when people are not living upright, sometimes the good gets swept up with the bad. Now, in the future world, in the next world, everybody gets reckoned according to their personal, you know, how they behaved. But in this world, you know, everybody affects everybody. You know, it's like the old story. It's more important with Jews. Jews really can affect each other. You know, I told you the story. You know, you got in the boat, right? Everybody's in the boat, and this one guy's drilling a hole underneath the seat. You know, and people go and say, what are you doing? And he goes, leave me alone. I pay for this ticket. I pay for the seat, rather. You know, it's my seat. I can drill a hole. I can do what I want. You don't want to drill a hole? Don't. But it's my seat. I'm drilling a hole. He says, you don't understand. You drill a hole underneath your seat, we're all going to sink. Okay? That's an idea. Okay. So, all right. Let's go on. Now, then we have a mitzvah in the Torah, lo tiskodu, which means don't, like, afflict yourself. They used to afflict themselves. When a person died, they used to go nuts. They used to tear out their hair and claw at their face. You know, they put gashes in themselves, right? So the Torah tells us in chapter 4, verse 1, you don't do that. Banim atem Hashem lokeichem, right? You are children of Hashem, which means a lot of things. Number one, you know, they have basically, the goyim have no eternal world. Or if they do, it's nothing like ours. Okay, so when they have a dead, you know, someone dies, man, they have something to grieve. But we are children of the living God. We're going back home, right? If you grieve too much, it's like you're denying, you know, the future world. You understand? So as a matter of fact, this verse is quoted in Pirkei Avos, Chavim Yisrael Shnikrim Bonim Lamakom. We are beloved, the children of Israel, that were called Bonim, children of Hashem. Chivi Yisera, even a greater love, is that it's told to us, Shnodaslam Shnikrim Bonim Lamakom, that Hashem tells us here in this verse, Bonim Atem Hashem Lokeichem, you're children of Hashem. That's even a greater love. In other words, there's a person who loves, let's say, loves his son, right? But he doesn't show his love in the open, in the public. He doesn't show, he loves him. You know, they know that they love each other. And then there's another type of father who loves his son so much, such a strong love, he can't hold it inside. He can't hold this feeling inside of his heart. And he has to show this love out in the open. And that's Hashem's love to Israel. Even if it arouses sometimes a jealousy of, you know, the orphan children, whatever, the Croatian world, right? It rouses their jealousy. Even so, Hashem can't hold back. His love for us is so strong. This is a parallel to Yosef with his father Yaakov. Even though on their level it aroused the jealousy of the brothers, Yaakov's love for Yosef was so strong, he didn't hold back. He bestowed this special coat on him and let it be known that he was his favorite. Yeah, he was his favorite because he was more spiritual also. I mean, it wasn't so simple. But on their level, the brothers got some sort of jealousy. We don't understand it. We were talking about great tzaddikim, okay? But the idea is the love was so strong that despite the consequences that it might arouse jealousy, right? Sometimes a father will still show it. And that's the way it is with Hashem with us. Okay? Okay. I'm going to go and follow along in the parsha here to give you some more Rashi's. In chapter 14, verse 7. There's a this animal, Shusa. I'm pronouncing that right. That's an animal. It's just interesting. You know, you read about all these things with fossils. Most of it's probably they made up anyways. I don't believe anything these archaeologists who are basically heretics and atheists, they say. But anyways, even let's say they did find some animal, you know, and they want to prove from it that, you know, I don't know, whatever, like Carl Sagan, you know, the world's billions and billions of years old. That's what the course is. Right. We have a lot of things in the Torah that tells us about certain animals that aren't around today. Here's one of them. Hashusa, Rashi says, Bria, it was a certain species, Sheyesh Shtei Gavim Veshtei Shadras. It had two backs and two spinal columns. Very interesting. I don't know what it is. It's an example. This is right in the parsha dealing with the kosher animals. I want to tell you about this. We have four animals here that only have one sign and not the other. What am I talking about? Well, right, exactly. Yeah, for animal to be kosher, right, we're not a fish have to have, we know, fins and scales, right? But for an animal to be kosher, it has to have split hoofs and chews its cud. Okay? So there's only four animals that only have one and not the other. All animals either have both the split hoofs and chew the cud, or none, don't have either sign. You understand? Right? Okay, these animals have one or the other, right? The rabbit, two different types of rabbits, evidently. One's called an arnevis, and one's called a chaffon. One's, I guess, a hare, and one is a rabbit. Hagamal, the camel, and the chazir, the pig. Okay? Now, the pig is unique because the pig is the only one that has split hoofs, right? Its internal sign, this one that's hidden, of chewing its cud, it does not chew its cud, right? That's the sign that it's treif. All the other three animals that we mentioned, the gamal, the arnevis, and the shafan, right? Their hooves are not split. Their exterior sign shows that they're treif. You can look at them right off the bat and see they're treif, right? Right? And their mouths, right, inside, their mouths inside is kosher. They chew their cud. But their exterior sign, right off the bat, you can tell they're treif. The chazir, the pig, is the opposite, right? Its exterior sign, you look at it and you think, huh, this is a kosher animal. It has split hooves, right? Its non-kosher sign is hidden. So they say these four animals represent the four exiles that we've been in. You hear? You know, this thing, we keep repeating four exiles. So I'm not going to go through every one of them, but the last exile, the one that we're in now, Edom, the exile we're in now, that's the pig. That's the chazer. Right? The chazer, chazer fissel, there's an expression, the hypocrite, chazer fissel, which means like a pig feet. He looks kosher. The hypocrisy, that is the highlight of today's golus, of the exile that we're in today. The hypocrisy. Everybody trying to be sure that they're human, that humanitarians, that they care. Right? I'll give you a perfect example. Liberalism is such a falsehood. It's such a shtus. Right? Because these people are liberal to everybody. Truly liberalism means the more persecuted a nation is, the more you should be liberal to them. That means everybody should love the Jews, especially the Orthodox Jews, because no one's more persecuted than us, right? And what is it? Just the opposite. At work, people will fire people, they'll abuse people, right, if they're Jews. If they're blacks, they wouldn't dare do that. If they're women, they wouldn't dare do that. If they're homosexuals, they wouldn't dare do it. This liberalism, all it means is what is popular today to be liberal in. They pick and choose what they feel it to be liberal in. It's not true liberalism. That liberal is supposed to mean you love everybody who's been persecuted. So that's the hypocrisy. United Nations. You know, there's a tremendous statistic, like 90% of the things that come out of the United Nations are anti-Israel. This little country in the Middle East, 90% of every legislation that comes out there is anti-Israel. The United Nations is supposed to stand for peace, for the united of all the nations to work together. Another hypocrisy, right? Like the League of Nations was before. Okay, this is Edom, the pig, shows itself to be on the external, you know, with a kosher sign, split hoofs, you know, we're cultured, we're kosher, right? But inside, it's treif. They're hypocrites, right? So I was talking to a Russian lady the other day, and she was telling me the propaganda in America is worse than it was for me in Russia. She says, in Russia, they tell you what to do. In America, they don't tell you what to do. They say you can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want in America. That's what they tell you. That's what they tell you. But the media, right, and the culture and the value and society are giving you subliminal subliminal suggestions all the time of what you really should be. You hear? They tell you, be what you want. But, you know, that's the motto. Do your own thing here. But really, you're bombarded propaganda from TV, radio, newspaper of what is the good life, what you're supposed to be, you're supposed to recycle. That makes you a good person. You know, never mind that it's a complete myth. See the Reader's Digest article, a copy of the Wall Street Journal, I have a copy of it. Right? Never mind, you know, that you should be tolerant to homosexuals. Never mind that Torah calls it an abomination, right? This is what's in, and it infiltrates the mind, subliminal effect. This is the ultimate propaganda, where they tell you, it's very insidious, they tell you you can do whatever you want, be whatever you want, but really they're dictating through the culture of what you should be. And you get swept up along with it. And that's why the Jew has to remain distinct. We have to remain distinct. We have this, actually, it's in our Torah portion, towards the end of the Torah portion, chapter 12, not towards the end, excuse me, still on the same topic here, chapter 12, verse 31, it says, Yishamer lecha pen tenakesh achareyam. Be careful, don't go after them. Lo tasekhen, ki kol tovas Hashem asher asu. You shouldn't do all the abominations that these nations do. So this is in reference to destroying their places and their idol worshiping in Israel when we entered there, right? So the Torah is telling you it's not enough to destroy their avodah zarah. You got to be careful not only to destroy their idols, but not to learn from their abominations, from their wickedness. Rav Yeruchim says on this, Alachad kama v'kama, how much more so does this apply to us today? Today, we're not all in the land of Israel, but we're spread out in exile. And we have to not learn from the Goyim, not to learn their abominations, or how they approve of abominations, like homosexuality, which everybody's so tolerant towards, and it drives me nuts, right? This is the continual, if there's one, Rabbi Yeruchim tells us, if there's one continual and main warning that the Torah states over and over again, is that the Jew has to learn how to be different. How to separate himself from the Goyim and not to try to be like them. But to realize that we're the Am HaNivchar. We're the chosen people. We're the Goy Kodesh. We're the holy nation. Right? And we have to be different. And this is all part of the same thing. We're saying getting sucked up into the propaganda of America and what everybody's doing. Right? And this is the main theme that the Torah repeats over and over again. Not to assimilate, to be different. And not to go, that's why you shouldn't even listen to the media. You shouldn't listen to radio, TV, newspaper. Because I'm telling you, it's propaganda. They're giving you subliminal suggestions. I'm telling you this. Everything is tainted. Everything is, you know, every day I guarantee you can open up any news station and there's not one night that will go by that they won't tell you someone was sexually molested. Right? Everybody's sexually molested. This is the latest thing. And or some woman's beaten up. Every woman got beaten up. Right? I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but boy, not to the extent that they blow this thing out of proportion. And there's always some segment with some cat stuck in a tree. Right? They gotta get down. Or some person who beat up a dog. Right? They find these, you know, unbelievable, unbelievable. Okay, well, Carl brought up a beautiful point. It's very parallel, this thing we just said, don't learn from the ways, they're abominations. It's very similar to the word we said about Lavan, with Yaakov, Lavan said him, Lavan garti, v'tayag mitzvah shamarti, v'lo lamarti mimasav. Right? I did a 613 mitzvah, 613 mitzvah is where I dwelt with Lavan, but not only that, lo lamarti mamaisav, I didn't learn from his ways. And we went to a whole drusha there. How many of us can say that we lived in America, and even though we're doing 613 mitzvahs, we didn't learn how to be an American, to think like them? Beautiful, beautiful. Good, very good insight. Same type of thing. Okay, we're going to continue. We have a lot of halachas in the Torah portion about poor people. How are you supposed to give tzedakah? How to give to the poor? And as a matter of fact, this is one of the says you're not supposed to ever test Hashem. In this one area, you can test Hashem. Aser tasher, you should give tithes in order to be wealthy. It's a plain words, right? And you could test Hashem with this. Say you give the maaser, if you give it according to your means, you tithe your money, give tzedakah, Hashem will surely reward you. You'll see, you'll never lose the money. And it says there's a certain, the poor, like of your own city, have to come first, And the words in the Torah uses asher yachser lo, what he's missing. In other words, you got to recompense, not a good word, but anyways, if a person was wealthy and fell into poverty, you got to give them the means, so to speak. You don't have to make them wealthy, but you can't give them like enough food that he has to live off peanut butter. Right? He's used to a fancier diet, right? So that's part of tzedakah, to give him what he needs. To such an extent that Rashi quotes, I think it's Gemara, afilu sus l'rachav alav ve'eved l'rdof lifanav. Even if he wants a horse to ride on, chveis, I guess today would be, you know, a new firebird, right? And a servant to run in front of him. You know, he used to do that as a sign of honor. If that's considered tzedakah. Okay? And it says, as a matter of fact, that Hillel once did this. I believe it was Hillel. It was very, very humble. I know that I think he had a poor person there. He didn't have any money, so he ran in front of him. He was kind of so, you know, really, if you think about it, it's a shtus, it's a foolishness. You know, that this person, he's so seeking of honor that he wants someone to run in front of him, you know. But this too, there's a rule, you know, it's... the will of a person, that's his honor. And we will learn from here that sometimes to give a person a shtus, that's also a chesed. To give a person his foolishness, to us it seems foolish. But to him it's important, so that's also an act of chesed. To give a person his foolishness is an act of chesed. You know, give a child his plaything. Okay? Okay, many other lessons were allowed here in tzedakah. You don't have time to go into them. But one of the main ideas of tzedakah, when you give it, as a matter of fact, it says when you don't give it, is as if you worship idols. How can it say that? Because a person has to know, and he expresses this knowledge when he gives tzedakah, that everything is from Hashem. And without the help of Hashem, he can't do anything. Right? And therefore, when a person gives tzedakah, he's making a statement. Right? He's making a statement, I realize that this was given to me by Hashem to use, to help the fellow Jews, right? And I realize it's all by his hashkocha that I'm getting it. And a person doesn't give tzedakah, he's saying that it's not Hashem that gave it to me. It's my power, my ability gave this. Why should I give it away? That's a statement he's making there. Okay. Let's move on. That's some of the ideas about tzedakah. If you look at chapter 16, verse 12, we have something that's been repeated in previous parashas, but I have to emphasize it again and again. And it says, Ke'evet ayisa b'mitzrayim, you were a servant, you were a slave in Egypt. Vasisa achukim, and it goes on, Vasita achukim ayla, you should do these mitzvahs. And Rashi tells us, al manas ken. For this reason is why I took you out of Egypt. Shetishmu avetase sachukim ha'ela. The whole reason I took you out of Egypt is that you keep my mitzvahs. We forget this. You know, we feel like it's a straitjacket, the do's and don'ts of the Torah. And we forget. That's the reason we were taken out of Egypt, you know. Let my people go so that they may serve me. We forget that last part. We like the first part. Let my people go. We're not too thrilled about the second part, that they may serve me. And we got to lock in on this. Whatever Hashem asks us to do, we got to do it. That's why we were freed. We're not living up to our half of the bargain. Okay? Okay, another thing. We have in our Torah portion a verse that teaches us, it's one of the verses that teaches us the three signs of a Jew. What are that? Is a chapter, what is that? Rather, a chapter 13, verse 18. It says, V'nasan lecha rachmi, Hashem will give you mercy. And from here we learn that Shalosh Simanim Yesh Be'umaya Yisrael, that the Jewish people have three signs, Rachmanim, Boshanim, Gomalei Chasadim. That we are people who we're full of mercy, sometimes too much. You know, we are merciful people, Boshanim, we show shame, we have a sense of shame, and Gomalei Chasadim, and we do acts of kindness. This is from the Gemara in Yevamos, Ayin Tes. Okay? So, those are the three signs of the Jewish people. However, certain times, you're not supposed to show mercy. You know, generally, this is a good attribute. For example, in chapter 13, verse 7 and 8, it says your brother Jew, your Jew comes and tries to tell you to go after other things, other idol, you know, an idol or something, or a false prophet. You know, his mom is trying to take Jews away from Torah and the belief in Hashem. So the Torah tells us, Rashi brings it down. Right? You might think there's a mitzvah, there is a mitzvah, you should love your fellow Jew like yourself. Right? Well, this means l're'echa, your fellow Jew in Torah mitzvahs, not this guy. Etzeh lotav, you shouldn't love this guy. He's not your fellow Jew in Torah mitzvahs. Right? Not only that, you shouldn't give him the benefit of the doubt that you usually do give to other Jews. And not only that, if you know anything that could be derogatory about him, you should bring it out. Right? And if we have a mitzvah that you're not allowed to sit by if someone's in danger and he could die, you're not allowed to sit by that. You got to save his life. This guy, you don't save his life. Right? And so forth and so on. Because you have to know what's really merciful. Saving a person like that is the ultimate act of cruelty. Because he's going to lead other Jews astray. So, well, okay, we need the Torah to tell us this. Okay? Okay, now, that portion actually continues on this theme about a false prophet. And it really is predicting Christianity here. And you know who, JC, right? And it says specifically why this will happen. You know, we a lot of times have the question, why in fact, you know, are they so popular, right? That their belief, Christianity, you know, it's so popular. It's, the majority seems to be on their side in all these things, right? So the Torah tells us specifically that, if you follow along with me, chapter 13, verse 4, it tells us specifically that this is a test from Hashem. It says, chapter 13, verses 2, 3, 4, 5, that there will come in within your midst a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, right? And he'll give you a sign. Or, you know, he'll say, this and this will come true. And it comes true. And it comes true. And he'll say, come, let us worship other gods that you didn't know. Lo tishma el divri anaviyahu. Don't listen to this false prophet. Or this dreamer of dreams. Why? Ki menase Hashem Elokeichem eschem. God is testing you. Ladas. To know. Hayeshchem oivim es Hashem Elokeichem b'chol levavchem v'chol nafshchem. Do you really love God with all your heart, with all your soul? So there it is. If you want to know why Christianity is popular, Yimach Shemam, right? Why, you know, if for no other reason, it could just be a test. You know, everybody seems to believe in it. Everybody say, you know, looks at us and say, you don't believe in this guy. You know, how can you, boy, you're going to go to hell. You're going to burn, you know. You Jews got horns and all these things. That's a test of our loyalty. It says it right here in the Torah. Ki menase Hashem Elokeichem eschem. Hashem is testing you to know if you really love him. Okay? So that's important. That's why these things happen. Okay. And the truth is, man can only transcend the questions of faith. The Michtav Meliyahu writes this. He can only transcend the question of faith that confront him only through a relationship of love of God. You know, love can justify that which evades logic. Okay? For example, if a person loves a child very much, right? Then every action, he looks at it from a positive perspective. You know, and he gives the kid the benefit of the doubt, and it's not really his fault, and all these things, right? Because he loves the child so much, the child can do no wrong in his eyes. Right? Same thing. Our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be, we should develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gives us strength to confront all of life's challenges. Our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do away with all questions. In other words, anytime you question HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, you are displaying a lack of love in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's what it means. Okay. And we have many other verses here that tell us about the times of today. It's absolutely amazing. This is the Torah portion. For example, I'll give you a few more here. Chapter 12, verse 30 tells us, Yishomer lecha pentanakesh achorayim, be careful, don't go after their ways. And we're talking about real abominations that these Canaanites did. You know, I know we're, you know, child sacrifice and all these things. So, and this is very relevant to us today. It says, clearly, you know, those generations, the Al Shichah Kodesh tells us this, Listen to his language. Clearly, those generations closest to the defeat of the Canaanites weren't tempted to imitate their ways. They saw them as abominations. So what is the Torah talking about? The Torah is warning us about future generations. Yeah, the passes of time, right? People unfamiliar with the past, right? They'll be tempted to resurrect the ancient practice of the natives. Sound familiar? Revisionist history is not a new phenomena. Okay? Seekers of novelty often find glamour in the lifestyle that have long ago been discredited. It's absolutely amazing. People, you know, all they want to dress like these Negroes and wear their hats and listen to their jungle music and act like them. And mom's acting like from the jungle. 30 years ago, their lifestyle was discredited. Homosexual stays, they stayed in the closet. Their lives were discredited. The Indians were known as savages. Today, people, revisionist history, try to resurrect the ancient practice of the natives of being quaint. Native is a very in word today. You know, natives. Natives, you can sell any product if you just slap native on it. It's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Here it is. It's an old thing. The people forget in the past what an abomination was, and culture dictates that this is all right. Okay? Another thing relevant to us today, chapter 13, verse 1, talks about don't add to the Torah and don't take away from the Torah. One who seeks to improve the Torah, this is very important, he runs the risk of using his human intelligence to consider what is an honor to God, which in fact it may be an abomination to God. Right? Right? That's what people do. They think they're being humanitarians and being liberal and tolerant to God's creatures, like with homosexuals, by defending them. Really, they're doing an abomination. God wants you to tear them down, to speak derogatory about them, so they won't. So they'll be ashamed to come out in public and encourage other people. Okay? Right? And also, of course, this is also knocking the conservative form who try to tell you this mitzvah, don't add to the mitzvahs, don't take away from the mitzvahs. That's exactly what they do. They tell you this mitzvah is not relevant, you know, which is the ultimate chutzpah if you think about it. You're implying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fell short. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't see 20th century America. Had he seen it, he would have told you that you didn't have to do this mitzvah. Right? He needs your amendments to the Torah. So that's chutzpah. Okay? Chapter 13, verse 8, again, talking about these things, it's an interesting comment. Stone Chumash has this, that human nature fantasizes that conditions are always better elsewhere, yeah, than they are where you are locally. And you always think that far-off lifestyles, Africa, you know, are more sophisticated, and that the corruption, right, is much less over there than it is, you know, over here. These people here are bashing America, today's society, bashes America, and they praise Gorbachev back then. They're, you know, and the communists, not so bad. It's not so bad, the communists. I'm telling you, I know people who go to school, they praise these things. Or they talk about all these countries, talk about how America brought disease to them. How America means disease, how they're more cultured, how we destroy their native way of life. These are the same people that beg America for our money, for their money. It's chutzpah. Okay, we're going to finish with this. Or the last word is back at the beginning of the parsha. It says, Hashem gives you today the bracha, Hayom HaBracha, which means every day Hashem gives us like a new insight into things that we didn't have the previous day. We have a new clarity in how to see things, right? What we didn't know yesterday. Suddenly our eyes see certain things, the passage of time, experience, but every day we're like a day older, a day wiser. And that's what it means. Re'eh Anochi Nosen Lefnechem Hayom Bracha. Behold, today I'm giving you a blessing. That you didn't have yesterday. You see things more clearly today. You have better insight today. And so it is every day of our life. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us. A good Shabbos. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.